So if you would take up your Bibles, if you have one, and we're going to do something a little different tonight. In our second service, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and we're almost done. I think we have one more sermon, one more passage to cover in the Gospel of Mark. But I thought, given that we're outdoors here, we would do something a little bit different and then finish Mark next week. So I'm going to be reading from the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to be reading, you're going to have to turn the pages. I'll give you time, so I won't say turn the pages quickly, but be ready to turn the pages, because we're looking at a collection of Proverbs that all have to do with being teachable. So the title of this sermon is The Teachable and the Unreachable. Little poetic language there, the teachable and the unreachable. So we're going to start out in Proverbs 10, verse 17. So there, go there first, if you would. Proverbs 10, verse 17. Not that it means a whole lot, but I grew up on 1017 South 21st Street in Lafayette. So, Proverbs. The other interesting thing is that the address of the church, 1407, as 1407, we're on North 25th Street, but as the same number address, at least of my where my grandma lived, and she was 1407 Virginia Street in Lafayette. So anyway, I'm wasting time here. I'm sorry. So Proverbs 10, verse 17. Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. Proverbs 13. I have three verses from this chapter, Proverbs 13. First of all, Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Verse 13. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. And then verse 18. A desire. That's the wrong verse. Poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. And then Proverbs 15, chapter 15, at verse 12. Proverbs 15, at verse 12. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. And then verse 13. Oh, I skipped. I should have done verse 1. No, wait. 12. 31. Proverbs 15. See, I'm confusing myself. Proverbs 15, 31, which says this: the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. And then verse 32. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. Proverbs 16, verse 20. Whoever gives thought to the word will discover good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 17, verse 10. A rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. And then Proverbs 19 and verse 16. Whoever keeps the commandment keeps his life. He who despises his ways will die. And also verse 27. Cease to hear instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Plans are established by counsel, by wise guidance, wage war. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. And then Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron. This is a verse I think we all know. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And then one more, Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. So, on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most and 1 being the least, how teachable are you? I would guess that most of us, honest folk that we are, most of us would give ourselves a score in the mid-range, perhaps a 4, 5, or 6. It's possible that someone might dare to give themselves a 7. And others, having lived under the same roof with themselves for long enough, might claim a 3 just to be done with it. But as we study the book of Proverbs tonight, this afternoon, we take up the matter of the teachable and the unreachable. I might just surprise you by claiming that to a large extent, all of us are more teachable than we might think. And I'm referring to the fact that we are believers in Jesus Christ. And if we are, as we are, then we have been willing to be taught the truths of God's word. And yet Scripture also teaches that human beings fallen in sin are markedly unteachable. They will not listen. Scripture teaches that the sinful nature renders us really completely unreachable. In John 8, for example, in verses 43 and 44, John 8, verses 43 and 44, Jesus asked of those who would not listen to him, those who would not believe in him, "Why is my language not clear to you?" And he answers his own question in this way, "Because you are not able to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And what you want is to carry out your father's desire." But Jesus also said of those who did listen, who did believe in him, that they did so only as they were enabled by God to listen and believe. In Matthew 16, for example, in verse 15, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And when Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus responded by saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." And the same is true for each of us, that as we are willing to confess our sin before a holy God, as we are willing to listen to the teaching of God's word regarding our sin and our need for Christ to be our Savior, as we are willing to come to Christ claiming his sacrifice on the cross and his righteousness for our justification, it's only because we have been granted a remarkable teachability, a remarkable willingness to be taught the very same truths that so much of the world in sin is bent on rejecting as nonsense. And the point is not that we should boast in ourselves, saying, "Well, I'm willing to listen while others are not," or "I'm teachable in a world of those who are unreachable." The point is that we should marvel at the sovereign grace of God to give us a teachable mind and heart. But the point is also that in knowing this, in knowing that God has given us, as Christians, God has given us a teachable heart to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ. The point is that we might strive to remain teachable before the Lord and his word. Some people want to claim that the doctrines of sovereign grace, as we call them, will only serve to make people careless in Christian living. And some people, unconverted as they are, may indeed use grace as an excuse to sin all the more. That's no surprise. But why did Jesus tell Peter, "Blessed are you, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven"? And why did the apostles teach the sovereignty of God's grace? Because those who have known a true conversion will surely be humbled by it. The call of God is to relax, to realize that his grip on us is stronger than our grip on him, and to remain teachable before him. We already have learned and have come to believe things that the world vehemently rejects and denies. So why close up our hearts now? Why hang on to pride? Why not be eager to learn more? Are you eager to learn more and to grow in the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ? So what I'd like to do the short time that remains is to draw two further lessons from God's word to make us more teachable before the Lord. And the first of those lessons is this, that to be a Christian, to be a believer in Jesus Christ, is to be a lifelong disciple of Christ. In other words, the essence of discipleship is that we always see ourselves as students of the Word of God. Within this life, there is no graduation day from being a disciple of Christ and thus a student of God's Word. The call of God is to be ever teachable, ever learning, ever growing in our knowledge of God. And here I can take us to the story of Mary and Martha in Luke 10, verse 38 and following. And I guess I say again, because we all know the story. Ironically, it's a story that teaches us to be teachable. It teaches us to be teachable. You likely remember it well. Jesus had come to stay in the home of Martha and Mary, sisters. Martha takes the opportunity that we ought to long for, to sit at the feet of Jesus and to just listen, to listen to his teaching. But Martha, Luke 10, verse 40 tells us, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to Jesus and she complained to him and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus' answer is remarkable and greatly instructive. What would we have said? Wouldn't we have said, "Yes, Mary, you really should, you know, lend a hand to your sister"? Wouldn't we have even said, "Oh, well, Martha, let me get up and help you. After all, we're just talking here"? Jesus might have said. Instead, Jesus answers, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed." Kind of like this morning, as we mentioned, Psalm 51, "Against you, you only have I sinned." Really? Yeah. And here Jesus uses the same kind of extreme language. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not take it away from her. It may sound strange, but there are certain ways that you can actually dishonor God by serving him. For example, we dishonor God even as we serve him if we are thinking to serve him to meet his need for assistance. We dishonor God even as we serve him, as if thinking to give him anything that he has not first given us, including the very strength that we have to serve him. But here's another way to dishonor the Lord by serving him. It's Martha's error, the error of being so busy doing things for the Lord that we forget our need to be taught by Christ. Jesus said, only one thing is needed. That's a powerful statement. And surely Jesus did not mean to say that we ought never to be about the business of ministry to others. But what he does say shows us the central, primary, essential importance of remaining teachable. And I think it's very telling and important for us to point out the obvious, that Mary was a woman. Sometimes we might think that women are to do what Martha was doing and that men are supposed to do what Mary was doing. Sometimes we think that women are exempt from learning the deep truths of God's word. But it's rather impossible to argue that case and perspective with Luke 10 in the Bible and the story of Martha and Mary. Clearly, the 12 disciples were men. Clearly, men and women are called to unique roles in the church. But clearly, there is not one way of following Christ for men and yet another for women. Discipleship for men and women, for young and old alike, is a matter of being a lifelong student of Christ and his word. But the second lesson to make us more teachable is that a friend of Jesus listens to his teaching. In other words, there is an inseparable connection between knowing Jesus as your friend and knowing him as your teacher. One of the primary ways that we are given today to confess our relationship to Christ is to confess that he is our friend. Well and good. Jesus himself said, "You are my friends." And that's not necessarily wrong. It's just potentially fraught with misunderstanding. It's not wrong because Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Try that with one of your friends. You can be my friend. I'll keep being your friend if you do what I command. Obviously, clearly, it's a different kind of friendship that we have with Jesus. Our temptation may be to lay hold of a passage like that and simply to think of Jesus as our buddy. The interesting thing, however, is that one of the disciples, later to be an apostle, none of the disciples, later to be apostles, none of them ever took up this teaching from Jesus in order to call him their friend. Read the opening verses of the apostolic letters to the church. Romans 1:1 says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God." Philippians 1:1 says, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus." James 1 says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 1:1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ." So how do we explain this? Did Jesus not say in John 15, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends." And not only do the apostles refrain from calling Jesus their friend, they also refer to themselves as servants. In fact, the word is really bond servant, someone who voluntarily and legally binds himself to serve a certain master, in this case, even for life. So were the apostles themselves too unteachable? to learn what we have managed to learn, that Jesus is only our friend. No, what we need to do is to understand what Jesus was saying in John 15. And notice firstly that Jesus says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Again, imagine if one of your friends said that to you. "Well, you can be my friend, but you have to obey me." That's not friendship. At least not in the sense that we usually think of friendship. So what is Jesus talking about? Well, he explains himself further in the next verse. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you." So Jesus is not talking about having a relationship among equals with his disciples or with us. Do we not call him Lord? Should we not call him Master? He's talking about the fact that he has been a teacher to his disciples and that he has kept nothing from them, at least nothing apart from what they could understand. He has kept nothing from them, but has revealed and taught them everything. Now that in itself is remarkable. And it's the thing to remember as we seek to be true disciples of Christ. I hope that you have a desire to be a disciple of Christ, a faithful student of God's word. There is a great privilege in being given a teachable heart and having the very word of God in our hands to read. In our love for Christ, we might envy the disciples the opportunity that they had to walk and to talk with Jesus, to learn from him and to study under him as their teacher and their friend. We might envy Mary the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, listening and hanging on his every word. But brothers and sisters, why be envious of the very opportunity that we actually have every day? Jesus is our friend yet today, which means that he is our teacher, and by his Spirit he has provided that his word can still be heard today. His commands are before us, and all that the Father has revealed to him, he is willing to make known to us. Well, all of this then to sound the call to remain teachable before the Lord. Are you teachable? The call is to remain teachable because as believers in Christ, we know that something remarkable, something miraculous has already happened to us. God has given us a teachable heart that we might receive the foundational truths of God's word for our salvation. So let us not say, "I'm not interested in learning anything more." Let us not say, "I have arrived, teach me no more." And let us not say, "That's too hard for me." Of course it's too hard for us. Even what we already know is too hard for us. But that didn't stop the Holy Spirit from giving us to know what we already know. And let us recognize that being teachable is essential to conversion, essential to growing in our faith, essential to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. Being teachable lies at the heart, the very heart of what it means to be a Christian. And let us recognize that God works through his word in the church. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another within the body of Christ. The place to recognize how unteachable we can be is probably when we have to learn being taught by others. We learn things on our own through our own personal study of God's word. Well, so be that. Just don't let someone else teach me, because that hurts my pride. But that's to deny the working of God through his word in the church. The blessing is ours to receive. a teachable heart, the word of God, and the fellowship of believers in which to learn to love Christ all the more. Amen. Let's pray. Please, Lord, keep us teachable as we are believers. So you have made us to be teachable. May we continue to learn and grow. And give a teachable heart to anyone who is yet resisting your truth. Thank you for the communion of saints. We thank you for the fellowship of your people. And within it, may we be teachable and reachable. And may we grow to love Christ all the more with each passing day. In Christ's name do we pray. Amen.